الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم. لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين. لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء فإذ لم يأتوا بالشهداء فأولئك عند الله هم الكاذبون. ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته في الدنيا والآخرة لمسكم فيما أفضتم فيه عذاب عظيم. إذ تلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبونه هينا وهو عند الله عظيم. ولولا إذ سمعتموه قلتم ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم. يعظكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين. ويبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم. Almighty Allah, speaking about the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ. Verily those who brought forth this lie, this accusation against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ, a group from amongst you. عُصْبَةٌ is used for a group between 10 to 40 people. And we know, of course, the person that was the real instigator was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. Almighty Allah says, لا تحسبوه شرا لكم. Addressing Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and all those believers who were saddened by this incident and to whom it brought a lot of grief and sadness and sorrow, Allah mentioned, لا تحسبوه شرا لكم. Do not consider this bad for you. Instead, بل هو خير لكم. There is good in it. Of course, this statement goes to, as I mentioned, to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Those people who instigated this lie, and those who to some extent approved of this lie, or those who accepted this lie, for them it is evil because they have accused Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. But Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu were saddened by this. So Almighty Allah, consoling Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, says, لا تحسبوه شرا لكم. Do not regard it evil. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Most definitely Almighty Allah will take out some good. And what better good can come out of this incident other than the fact that Almighty Allah informs us and teaches us what is the maqam and the status of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. And likewise Almighty Allah explains the izzat and the honor of woman. If we study the entire Quran, we will find one chapter in the Quran, Surah An-Nisa, a chapter of woman. But there isn't one chapter of man that specifically speaks about man. So really this is the honor that Almighty Allah has kept for women. And these ayat-e-kareema will be memorized by the huffaz of this ummah, and they will be recited in the mihrabs till the day of qiyamah. So Almighty Allah says, most definitely there is some good, and in this good it refers to how Almighty Allah has revealed the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. Every one of them will have to pay for the penalty of what he did, according to what role he played in the promotion of this lie. Those that approved of it, there were those that did not approve of it, but did not disapprove, which Almighty Allah also disliked. As further we will discuss, Allah says it is not becoming of the believers that when they are informed about the accusation made against any woman, and in particular against their own mother, that is Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, that they remain silent. So Allah mentions, لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. Each one of them will have to pay for the sin according to how much of this wrong he promoted. And وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبَرَهُ مِنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. The one who played the greatest role, that was Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, Ra'isul Munafiqeen, the leader of the hypocrites, لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. The Quran says there will be a great torment for him and there will be a great punishment for him. Of course, the Quran has described the punishment and the penalty and the azab of the munafiqeen in various places of the Quran. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. From among the people are those who say, we brought iman on Allah. But Allah, who is the knower of the unseen, alimun bidhati sudur, He knows that these people have not brought iman. Allah says, يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَمَا يَخْدَعُونَ إِلَّا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ They are under the impression that they deceive in Allah. But as a matter of fact, they are deceiving none other than themselves. In one riwayat of Jalalain I read, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah will tell the munafiq, go there's your abode in Jannah. As he will come close to Jannah, the door will close. And Almighty Allah will then mention to him, you thought you were deceiving us, today you will be deceived. يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ They are under the impression that they are deceiving Allah. Otherwise, who can deceive Allah? No one can deceive Allah. Allah mentions, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لَهُمْ نَصِيرًا Verily, the munafiqeen will be in the lowest level of Jahannam, and no one will be able to assist them. استغفر لهم أو لا تستغفر لهم إن تستغفر لهم سبعين مرة فلن يغفر الله لهم ذلك بأنهم كفروا بالله ورسوله والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين أو نبي of Allah seek forgiveness on their behalf once, twice, three times, four times, 10 times, 50 times, even if you seek forgiveness through your Mubarak tongue 70 times, فلن يغفر الله لهم Almighty Allah will not pardon them. That is why on the day of Qiyamah, when the munafiq will be lowered into the grave, and the angel will ask him, who did you worship and who is your Allah? Then he will say, سَمِعْتُ النَّاسَ يَقُولُونَ قَوْلًا فَقُلْتُ كَمَا قَالُوا I heard the people saying something, so I also said as they were saying, with absolutely no yaqeen and conviction. So in this Almighty Allah mentions in these few ayat karima, each person will have to pay for the azab according to what role he or she played in the promotion of this lie. And the greatest instigator of this fitna was the munafiq. The aim of the munafiqeen was to inconvenience Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Allah says it is not becoming of the believer. The munafiqeen are the enemies of the Muslims. But the Muslims who have recited the kalima, it is not becoming of the believers to make such statements. Allah mentions like in the Quran, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمَ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طُعَامِ الْمِسْكِينَ فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ Oh Nabi of Allah, did you see that person who denies the existence of Qiyamah? أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُّ الْيَتِيمِ He is the very same one who chases the orphans. وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَىٰ طُعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ He does not encourage feeding the poor. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ Woe to such people who are neglectful regarding their prayers. الَّذِينَ هُمْ يُرَاءُونَ Those that do good for name and fame and to show people. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَاعُونَ And who are so stingy and mice to such an extent that they even refuse common necessities. Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani Rahmatullah Alayhi writes, All these qualities are of that person يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ who denies Qiyamah. These are not the qualities of a believer. So likewise, to accuse Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha is totally incorrect. But this is exactly what the munafiqeen will do. But as far as the Muslims should not do such a thing of this nature. This is what Almighty Allah is mentioning. Now Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala goes on further, reprimanding and admonishing and advising the believers in such a situation and such an event where Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha or anyone else, any other Muslim woman, if that people are accusing her, how should the general masses, how should the Muslims conduct themselves regarding this accusation against one Muslim sister, and more so in the event when it is Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Allah says, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ Why then did not the believers, ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ Men and women, when you heard this, Allah says, think good of your own self, think good of your people and say, this slander, this lie, it's an open lie, it's an obvious lie. هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ When you heard this accusation, then you know this is the wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no need to investigate it. Without investigating, your iman should demand that you deny this thing in totality. Now if we sit and ponder over the words of the Quran, Allahu Akbar, Allah says, ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ The believing male and the believing female should think good of themselves. Allah did not say they should think good of this woman or they should think good of their sister. Allah says they should think good of themselves. In other words, accusing your Muslim sister is like accusing yourself. Allah has used this manner in the Quran repeatedly, indicating the closeness that should be between the Muslim brothers and sisters. Allah mentions, سَلِّمُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ Greet yourselves. Allah doesn't say greet your brothers, Allah says greet yourselves. Likewise, Allah mentions, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not kill and murder yourself. No one is going to murder himself. But by killing and assassinating your brother is like killing yourself. Likewise, Allah mentions, وَلَا تَلْمِزُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not criticize and condemn and run down yourself. By criticizing your brother or laughing at your brother or mocking at your brother, the Quran says you are mocking at yourself. وَلَا تُخْرِجُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ مِن بُيُوتِكُمْ. Almighty Allah is explaining the closeness. By you attacking the izzat of Aisha radiallahu anha, every Muslim should feel that pain and that agony that this is happening to me. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَثَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فِي تَوَادُّهِمْ وَتَعَاتُفِهِمْ وَتَرَاحُمِهِمْ مَثَلُ الْجَسَدِ. The case and the condition of the believers is like one human body. إِذَا اشْتَكَى مِنْهُ عُضْوٌ. When one organ or limb of the body is paining, then the difficulty and the pain is felt by the entire body. And this is what the Quran describes of the Sahaba Ikram, the closeness that the Sahaba had. Muhammadur Rasulullah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ. And those people that were with Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were stern against the kuffar. رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. But were humble and kind to one another. Among themselves they had a lot of muhabbat and affection and understanding. And Allah mentions the very same thing in the sixth juz of the Quran in Surah Ma'idah. يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين. Oh, you who believe, if you will turn your back to this religion of Islam, Allah will replace you by such a nation. يحبهم ويحبونه. Such people that Allah will love and they will love Allah. And another quality that will be found in this nation, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They will be humble to the believers. أَعِذَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. And they will be stern to the kuffar. So Almighty Allah mentions, it is not becoming of the believer when he hears something of this nature. It comes in one hadith of Abu Dawud. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ حَمَى مُؤْمِنًا مِّن مُنَافِقٍ. That person who will protect the izzat. That person who will protect the izzat of his brother or sister from a munafiq, بَعَثَ اللَّهُ مَلَكًا. Allah will send one angel, يَحْمِي لَحْمَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ مِنْ نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ. And this angel will protect the flesh of this person from the fire of Jahannam. وَمَنْ رَمَى مُسْلِمًا بِشَيْءٍ يُرِيدُ بِهِ شَيْنَهُ. And that person who criticizes or who accuses one Muslim with the intention of belittling him and dishonoring him and disgracing him, حَبَثَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَى جَسْرِ جَهَنَّمْ. Almighty Allah will make him stand on the bridge of Jahannam, which every man will have to cross. وَإِن مِّنكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا. This person will have to stand on that bridge of Jahannam. So that person who will protect the izzat of his brother or sister from a munafiq, Allah will appoint one angel, and the task and the responsibility of this angel will be to protect this person from the fire of Jahannam. So the Quran teaches us, when anyone accuses any of our brothers or sisters, if that person cannot produce substantial proof, then like Mufti Shafi Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi writes, it is wajib upon us to deny that accusation in totality. Allah mentions, لَوْلَا جَاءُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءِ فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُهَدَاءِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. Why did they not produce four witnesses? As we mentioned earlier on, when you want to accuse someone or you've seen someone guilty of the crime, you want to prove him as an adulterer or she as an adulteress, and you want to submit the claim against him or her in the court before the Mufti or the Qazi, then do so with substantial proof, which is four witnesses as explained in the previous ayat. And Allah says, فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَىٰ. If they cannot produce four witnesses, فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. Verily these people are rendered as liars in the court of Almighty Allah. Now something to discuss here, Mufti Shafi Saab Rahmatullah Ali mentions, it is very possible that a person sees someone in the crime of zina, in fornication and adultery, and he does not have substantial proof. Now if he submits the claim as finding so and so guilty of the crime without three other witnesses, then according to this ayat he will be a liar, whereas he is not a liar. And more so, how could we refer to him as a liar when Allah is the knower of everything? So how can we say such a person is a liar when he is not speaking the lie? He has seen the crime, but it just so happened that there was no one else around at that time who could also witness the crime and who could witness the sin and could also present their witness against this particular person. So Mufti Shafi Saab Rahmatullah Alayhi explaining this writes, what is meant by being a liar in the court of Allah means that it is not becoming of the believer to do something which is in vain. Now as a Muslim, you know that if I am going to submit the claim of zina against this person without substantial proof, until I do not have four witnesses, then my submitting of the claim is going to be in vain. Instead, I will be lashed the lashes of accusing hadd qadhf. So a Muslim knows that only if he has substantial proof should he submit this claim. And if he knows that I do not have any other witnesses, then why should I go to the Qazi or why should I go to the Mufti? Instead, let me approach my Muslim brother on my individual capacity and speak to him, "Oh my brother, abstain from this, make tawbah to Almighty Allah." Like it happened in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a person himself came and he made iqrar of zina and he acknowledged that I committed zina. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "No, perhaps you just were touching that woman. Perhaps you had some unlawful relation with her, but it did not go to the extent of fornication. It was when that person confirmed it, "O Nabi of Allah, I did have this act of zina, and it was this evil act of zina." Finally, after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trying to avert this crime from him, and he finally acknowledged it, and he removed every doubt, then only was it confirmed, and then he was given the lashes. So what is meant by being a liar is that it is not becoming of a believer after knowing the fact that I am only one person and I don't have any other proof. He should not go and submit the claim. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Let us understand, respected listeners, what is the maqam and the status of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Not one ayat, not two ayat, ayat upon ayat, Allah is speaking about the piety of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And like Mawlana Shabir Ahmed Usmani rahmatullah alayhi writes, "Bila shubha, Hazrat Aisha jitni fakhr karegi wo na kafi hai. Without a shadow of doubt, immaterial how much Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha boasts and brags about this honor, most definitely it is insufficient. Why? Because we feel honored if my name came perhaps in the Lanija Times, your name came in the Sunday Times, his name came in the Star or any other paper for that matter. For that day particular, perhaps people will honor the paper. After that, the paper will be used on the floor or to wipe the windows of the car. But Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha's name or her innocence came in that kitab which Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi writes, أنزل أشرف الكتب بأشرف اللغات على أشرف الرسل بسطارة أشرف الملائكة وكان ذلك في أشرف بقاء الأرض وابتداء إنزاله في أشرف شهور السنة فكمل من كل الوجوه." Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi writes, "The greatest kitab, that is the Quran, was revealed in the greatest language, that is Arabic, on the greatest being, that is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, via the greatest angel, that is Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam. And the beginning of the revelation commenced in the greatest month of the year, and that is the month of Ramadan. And this happened on the most honorable land of this entire dunya, and that is the holy lands of Makkah. فَكَمُلَ مِنْ كُلِّ الْوُجُوهِ. So this Quran has been perfected from every angle. So who can fathom and understand the honor, the izzat, the maqam, the martaba, the rutba of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, that this greatest kitab, that is the Quran, testifies the piety, the evidence and the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Allah says, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ لَمَسَّكُمْ فِي مَا أَفَضْتُمْ فِيهِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Had it not been for the grace of Almighty Allah, His kindness and His mercy upon you, in this dunya and in the akhirat, what would have happened in such an event when you accused the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? لَمَسَّكُمْ فِي مَا أَفَضْتُمْ فِيهِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. A great torment would have come your way for that which you had spoken about. For such a crime, accusing, respected listeners, can we understand by we accusing or by anyone accusing Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha of the act of zina, that as a matter of fact is questioning the authority of Almighty Allah and is questioning the choice of Almighty Allah, that na'uzu billah, has Allah chosen such woman for his Nabi, for the greatest person who is most beloved to Almighty Allah? Has Allah chosen such woman to be the wife of this Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Na'uzu billah. So this accusation will go direct onto the choice of Almighty Allah. So Almighty Allah mentions that it is the kindness that Allah has pardoned you and He has forgiven you. And of course, as I will mention, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi has written that those Sahaba like Hazrat Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Mistah radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Himna bint Jahash radiallahu anha, who to a certain extent also fell prey to this accusation. They were given hadd qadhf, that is the punishment of accusation. But after that, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha had also pardoned them, and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha used to disapprove of anyone condemning them or criticizing them in any way. And Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, do not speak evil of Hassan bin Thabit, kana yunafihu an Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the kuffar used to compile poetry against Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it was Hassan bin Thabit, sha'iru Rasulillah, the poet of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that used to stand up, and in poetry he used to combat this, and he used to challenge this, and he used to answer all that poetry, honoring and respecting the personality of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah mentions again, إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. When you are propagating this with your tongues and uttering with your mouths, مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, that which you had no knowledge about. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا, and you regarded it as small and as minute and insignificant. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ, whereas this crime was the greatest crime in the eyes of Almighty Allah. Respected listeners, to do a wrong is a sin, and then to regard the wrong is insignificant is more major than the wrong itself. One point comes to mind. Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali has written in Mirqat, in the commentary of Mishkat, he writes that there are great possibilities that Almighty Allah will pardon us for our major sins, and Allah will take us to task for our minor sins. Then he himself elaborates on this and he explains. He says, when a person disobeys Almighty Allah by committing a major sin, the awareness of the sin is at his mind. That, you know, I'm committing zina, this is wrong, I shouldn't do this. I am gambling, this is wrong, I shouldn't do this. So to a certain extent, the evil of that sin is in his heart and his mind. But when we commit minor sins, we don't even regard it as a sin. And many a times we justify it and we verify it by saying it is only makruh. Now that statement Mullah Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali writes is more major than the crime itself. That is why Awam bin Hawshab Rahmatullah Ali used to say, أَرْبَعٌ بَعْدَ الذَّنْبِ شَرٌ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ. Four things after a sin is worse than the sin. Al-Istisghar, to disobey Allah and then to regard the disobedience of as minute and insignificant is wallah more major than the crime itself. Al-Istisghar, wal-Istibshar, to disobey Allah and then to rejoice and boast that, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, people boast that last night I did this and I have done so much business. So many people brag about how many people they have robbed and how evil their dealings are. They boast and brag about this. Al-Istibshar, boasting and bragging about one's own wrong and one's own evil. Number three, Al-Ightirar, by not seeing the punishment that is promised on that crime, one gets the confidence and jur'at and courage and he continues doing that crime. Al-Israr, number four, who remains adamant on doing that crime. These four things are worse than the sin itself. So Allah says, yeah, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا, you regard it minute and insignificant. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ, whereas in the court of Almighty Allah and in the eyes of Allah and in the Shariat of Islam, this is the greatest crime. Let us understand, my respected sisters, what is the izzat of a woman? Wallah, respected listeners, if we can implement this and we can bring that brotherhood and that unity, and then if anyone must only stretch an evil glance towards our sister, if that muhabbat and that unity will be amongst us, then we will see no man will firstly have the guts and the courage of even giving that evil glance towards our sister. But unfortunately today, firstly, that unity is not found amongst us. And number two, unfortunately, we find that many of us, brothers and sisters, which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرَ وَالْمَنْظُورِ إِلَيْهِ, Allah's curse is of that person who looks at the opposite sex. And Allah's curse is at that person, he or she, who promotes himself or promotes herself that others can look at them. So Allah mentions that this is a great crime. وَلَوْلَا إِذَ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ, so if it is a great crime, but oh Allah, we heard about this. So when you hear about this, what should you do? This is what you should do. وَلَوْلَا إِذَ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. And why did you not, when you heard this accusation and this lie and this fabrication, ifkun, the word ifkun has been used. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali writes, ifkun is a great lie, such a lie where truth is made into false, or false is made into truth, or where a muttaqi, a pious person, is referred to as a fasiq and a fajir, or where an irreligious person is labeled as a pious person. And the Quran has used the word ifkun, indicating and explaining that this lie is no ordinary lie, this is one of the greatest lies that a person can invent or fabricate. So what should you do when you hear of something of this nature? Subhanak, hada buhtanun azim, without questioning, without investigating, this is an open lie, this is a great lie. Earlier on also Allah mentioned this, the same thing Allah is discussing.
ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا.
Do not speak about that which you do not know. Why on the day of Qiyamah, إِنَّ السَّمْعَ وَالْبَصَرَ وَالْفُؤَانَ, verily you will be asked regarding every organ of your body. If you gave witness of something, then you must be confident that you know what you are speaking. And if you have no knowledge about it, don't approve of it. And in an incident of this nature, disapprove of it. This is what the Quran is explaining to us. Now something to discuss here. The question arises, in these ayat-i kareema which we are discussing, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is repeatedly mentioning one thing, that you should avert and divert this topic and you should deny it openly. Why did Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then not deny it openly? When he was informed of this accusation and he knew the rumors that were being passed around in Medina against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, and he also investigated, he asked the Sahaba ikram that what should he do? He gathered them in the masjid, and we know for that one period, that one month, that duration of one month, which went with great difficulty for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Aisha, and of course all the believers. Why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then not deny it openly? The Mufassireen have given many answers and have explained that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not doubt the piety and the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha in any way. In fact, in the words of Bukhari, it comes, the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا عَلِمْتُ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ إِلَّا خَيْرًا, I only know good regarding my household and regarding Aisha. And one person asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ أَحَبُّ النَّاسِ إِلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, O Nabi of Allah, who is most beloved to you? Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Aisha. That person said, مِنَ الرِّجَالِ, O Nabi of Allah, I am speaking from among the men and not the woman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أبوها, the father was at Aisha radiallahu anha, knowing very well the piety was at Aisha radiallahu anha, and the maqam and the izzat was at Aisha radiallahu anha. She was that woman who had the opportunity where repeatedly Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell her, Ya Aish, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to call her many times Aish, Ya Aish, هذا جبريل يقرأ عليك السلام. Oh Aisha, this is Jibreel greeting you, answering his greetings. And she was that woman that Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam used to come and visit Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even when he was in seclusion with Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. So knowing the izzat and the virtue and the manaqib of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, why did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then not deny this and negate it immediately? The answer to this is very clear. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his heart did not have any evil things against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. But of course Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was waiting for some divine guidance in the form of perhaps Quran or a dream or any other form, so that the people can give up this rumors and give up this evil, because naturally the people like Musa alayhi salatu was salam told Allah, oh Allah, I am inviting towards you, but stop the tongues of people. They are saying sometimes I'm a liar, sometimes they are saying this, sometimes they are saying that. Allah told Musa alayhi salam, oh Musa, they did not leave me, where will they leave you? So people will keep on doing this and people will keep on saying this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was waiting for some divine confirmation so that he could reveal the matter in the form of Quran or Hadith to the people, and everyone could give up this practice or give up this accusation rather against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. Otherwise the Nabi of Almighty Allah, Hasha wa Kalla, we cannot entertain such a thought that na'udhu billah, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doubted the piety or the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. So the Quran says, immediately you should deny it. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, on the authority of Asma bint Yazid radiallahu anha, مَنْ ذَبَّ عَنْ عِرْضِ أَخِيهِ بِالْمَغِيبَةِ كَانَ حَقًّا عَلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يُعْتِقَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. That person who will answer if in front of him his brother is ghibat is being made, someone is speaking ill of his brother or accusing his brother or sister, and he denies it and he says it's a lie, don't speak ill of my brother or my sister. It is the promise of Almighty Allah that Allah will save him from the fire of Jahannam on the day of Qiyamah. And in one hadith it comes that that person before whom his brother's ghibat is being made, فَاسْتَطَاعَ نُصْرَتَهُ, and he has the ability of answering that person and keeping him quiet or averting the topic and telling him that do not speak ill of my brother or sister. نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ, if he will help his brother by ending the topic or by changing the topic, then it is the promise of Allah that Allah will help him on the day of Qiyamah. So Almighty Allah says it is the condition of a believer to say, هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ, this is an open lie. Now Allah says, يَعِذُكُمُ اللَّهُ أَن تَعُودُوا لِمِثْلِهِ أَبَدًا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah forbids you and warns you that you repeat this in the future ever. Allah uses the term abada. Abada means don't ever accuse Hazrat Aisha or anyone else without inquiring and investigating the matter.
And then Allah says, this is the quality in kuntum mu'mineen. If you are believers, then this is what your iman should demand from you. If you're not a believer, then people like Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, who are out to inconvenience Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this was their job and this was their task, to hurt the feelings of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But this is not becoming of the believers. So Allah says, I am warning you that let not this happen in the future if you are believers. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. He give us the tawfiq of guarding our tongues, protecting our tongues against the izzat of anyone, not hurting the feelings of anyone, and not accusing any brother or sister. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. يعظكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين ويبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله رؤوف رحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان ومن يتبع خطوات الشيطان فإنه يأمر بالفحشاء والمنكر ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته ما زكى منكم من أحد أبدا ولكن الله يزكي من يشاء والله سميع عليم ولا يأتل أولو الفضل منكم والسعة أن يؤتوا أولي القربى والمساكين والمهاجرين في سبيل الله وليعفوا وليصفحوا ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم والله غفور رحيم إن الذين يرمون المحصنات الغافلات المؤمنات لعنوا في الدنيا والآخرة ولهم عذاب عظيم. الله تبارك وتعالى concluding with the verses pertaining to the innocence of Hazrat Aisha رضي الله عنها mentioned, يعظكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا, that Allah forbids you and warns you that you repeat this in the future, in kuntum mu'mineen, if you are believers. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in the hadith, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي فَقُولُوا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى شَرِّكُمْ. When you see anyone speaking ill of my sahaba, criticizing or condemning my sahaba, then tell those people, لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى شَرِّكُمْ, may the curse of Allah descend upon your statements. So likewise here also Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has advised us and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has reprimanded us that to guard our tongues, and this should serve as a lesson for the entire Muslim ummah. Of course, regarding the Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, we know they were humans and at times they had also committed mistakes and they had committed sins. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has confirmed their forgiveness in various places of the Quran. Like those Sahaba ikram that who did not participate in Tabuk, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ وَظَنُّوا أَن لَّا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has confirmed their forgiveness. And in this incident, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was not even innocent. So she had not committed a crime, so there's no question of forgiveness. Although as we will discuss, Allah has promised her forgiveness. But here she is totally innocent. So we should control our tongues that we do not harbor, we do not utter any undesirable statement regarding Hazrat Aisha or any of the Sahaba, which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned to us is one of the signs of Qiyamah. وَلَعَنَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةَ أَوَّلَهَا, when the last portion of this ummah will start cursing the first portion of this ummah. Respected listeners, we are living in a time of evil and vice. Sahaba ikram lived in the golden era of Nabuwat. We are drowning in our sins. Who are we to sit and question any action of Sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, to dislike the Ansar is alamatun nifaq, it is the sign of hypocrisy. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala further mentions, وَيُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ, and Allah makes the ayat and the signs of the Quran clear. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ, and Allah is all knowing and all wise. He has the knowledge of everything. Who was saying it from the heart, whose tawbah was made with sincerity, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the knower of everything. And Hakim, he is all wise. It was in his wisdom that the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha should be revealed after 1 month and not immediately. So fi'lul hakim la yakhlu anil hikmah, every action and every decision of Almighty Allah is full of wisdom. Of course, insan's intelligence cannot reach and fathom and understand and comprehend the wisdom of Almighty Allah in every decision and every order of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaks about the munafiqeen and all the kuffar who took an active part in promoting this evil, this vice, this accusation amongst the believers and trying to dishonor the Muslims, and more so Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because after all Aisha radiallahu anha was the most beloved to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Quran Kareem mentions, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Verily those who like the promotion of this type of accusation amongst the believers, Allah mentions, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. They will have a painful torment in this world and in the Akhirat. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, we must understand, committing of a sin is wrong. To disobey Allah is a sin. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is ready to forgive that sin as long as you do not announce that sin. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in the hadith, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي مُعَافًا إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرِينَ. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is ready to pardon the sins of all my followers and all my ummati, of my entire ummah. Allah is ready to pardon their sins. Provided, oh Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will not forgive the sins of those people who disobey Allah openly. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْمُجَاهِرِينَ. And amongst those people who disobey Allah openly is that person who commits a sin in the night secretly, and Allah covers his sin, and he gets up in the morning and he reveals this crime and this sin and this act of his to people. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will not pardon such a person. Likewise, the opening verses of the sixth juz of the Quran, لَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ الْجَهْرَ بِالسُّوءِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ سَمِيعًا عَلِيمًا. Allah mentions, لَا يُحِبُّ اللَّهُ. Allah does not like الْجَهْرَ بِالسُّوءِ, the announcement of evil, the promotion of evil. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not like that, with the exception إِلَّا مَنْ ظُلِمْ, of the oppressed one, that the madhloom, the oppressed one, can speak about his oppression. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not like this. And respected listeners, if we sit and study this ayat kareema, then in that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is explaining how today in our society, because unfortunately we discuss this evil so common, when a person discusses a vice very commonly and every person speaks about it, or you can read about it in the papers, then without a shadow of doubt every one of you will have to agree with me, the harm of that evil, that the evil of that sin leaves the hearts of the people. Like today in our society, in the time in which we are living, raping has become so common, fornication has become so common. So if you are informed that so and so was caught guilty of the crime of fornication or of zina or any other severe crime of that nature, because our ears have become so immune to listening to these words and these terms, that is why we don't find it severe. But the Quran has mentioned to us that if you do not have substantial proof, then do not speak about it. And if you are going to speak, then you will be given the lashes of accusation. And if you have substantial proof, then submit the claim. And when this adulterer and adulteress will be lashed, then the Quran says, وَلْيَشْهَدَ عَذَابَهُمَا طَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Then we will lash them and we will pelt them in the presence of a group of the Muslim Ummah, so everyone can witness the consequences of the violation of the orders of Almighty Allah. So in future, no one will take the guts and the courage of disobeying Allah. But today we find the situation in which we are, the crime has been taken place, it has been discussed, and there is no penalty, and there is no punishment, and there is no torment, and there is no azab for it. So those that are doing it are becoming more brave and becoming more courageous in committing that crime, and it is serving as an encouragement for others. So the Quran has made this totally unlawful, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forbids the promotion of this. One alim writes in his kitab, he writes, هَذَا وَعِيدٌ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ فَكَيْفَ بِمَنْ يَعْمَلُ. Allahu Akbar. This is the warning of those who love speaking or promoting the evil of others. In other words, so and so was caught guilty of the crime of zina, and another person enjoys discussing this topic, and wherever he sits out with anyone, he says, you know, so and so was caught guilty of this crime. Now Allah dislikes the action of this person who is promoting this. Perhaps it might be an accusation, and perhaps it might be a reality, but the fact remains, he is making one evil thing arm, and he is making it general. Allah dislikes this. So when Allah dislikes the announcement and the promotion of this evil, then can we imagine how evil must be the committing of the evil itself? If speaking about someone else's act and someone else's guilt and zina is evil and disliked by Allah, then can we imagine how much it must be disliked by Allah committing the act of zina and fornication itself? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us, our children, our daughters, and the entire Muslim ummah. So Almighty Allah here speaks to the munafiqeen who were promoting this. And Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, it was his habit that for that particular 1 month, whoever he met, he used to only start this discussion. We find many a time shaitan comes to people in this way, that they will start the topic and after that they will remain silent. I didn't see. But meanwhile, this was the person who instigated the fitna. So just by instigating that fitna, that whole discussion that is going to happen there, the guna of that is going to come on the person that is going to instigate. That is why the Quran says, لَا خَيْرَ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّن نَجْوَاهُمْ إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِصَدَقَةٍ أَوْ مَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ إِصْلَاحٍ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Allah says that there is no benefit in your discussions and what the people are discussing, but إِلَّا مَنْ أَمَرَ بِمَعْرُوفٍ, that person who commands good. Or islahim bayn al-nas, or you are sitting together to make an effort how you can unite two Muslim brothers and sisters. Here you are making an effort how to disunite them. يستغفون من الناس ولا يستغفون من الله وهو معهم إذ يبيتون ما لا يرضى من القول. Allah says you can hide from people but you cannot hide from Allah. Allah knows what you are discussing. So really, respected listeners, it is very evil to discuss and promote. And many a times we have our wrong also. We should not discuss it and reveal it to anyone. We should ask Almighty Allah for forgiveness. When Allah has pardoned our sins and Allah is putting Almighty Allah is putting a veil over our wrong and our evil, then why should we remove this veil of Almighty Allah and go and announce it to the entire ummah? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And verily Allah knows and you do not know. Of course, what knowledge does insan have? Insan has absolutely no knowledge, and Allah knows exactly who is promoting it and whose intention is what. So everything is in the knowledge of Almighty Allah. عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَ. Allah says He is the knower of the hidden and He is the knower of the things which is apparent. Everything is in front of Almighty Allah. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. The previous ayat, Almighty Allah speaks about the munafiqeen. And in that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala explains to the believers also that it was the munafiqeen who did this and this azab is for them. And if you will do this, then the azab will happen for you also. And yeah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala speaks about the believers that if it wasn't for the mercy of Almighty Allah and His kindness, then most definitely Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would have hastened the punishment towards you. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was kind, wa anna Allah ra'ufur rahim, and that Almighty Allah is full of kindness and mercy. That is, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala blessed the sahaba ikram, those that were found guilty of this crime. Allah blessed them with the tawfiq of repentance. What was it that they could repent and the munafiqeen did not repent? And they did not repent and they left this dunya with nifaq. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave the sahaba ikram, Hassan bin Thabit radiyallahu anhu, Hazrat Mistah radiyallahu anhum, and the other sahaba ikram, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, Allah gave them the tawfiq and the ability of repenting, and Allah accepted their repentance. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that it is the kindness of Almighty Allah and it is the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now after completing and concluding with these verses, discussing and highlighting and informing the innocence of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, relevant to the topic, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now once again makes us aware of the attack of the devil, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reminds us that the devil is our enemy, because this that happened, those sahaba ikram who fell prey to this accusation was because of the attack and the effort of the devil, and it was because of this force and the staqat and the strength of the devil that was injecting these evil thoughts in the hearts and the minds of people. And this is how some sahaba ikram fell prey to this accusation against Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala again reminds us, like He has mentioned to us in many places of the Quran, that the devil is your open enemy. Inna shaytana lil insani aduwwum mubeen. Shaytan is your open, mubeen means open enemy. Allah says in Surah Hajj, in the 17th juz of the Quran, kutiba alayhi annahu man tawallahu fa annahu yudhilluhu wa yahdihi ila adhabis sa'ir. It has been decided, whoever will befriend the devil will lead him to Jahannam. This is the job of the devil, this is the task of the devil. الشيطان يعدكم الفقر ويأمركم بالفحشاء. He will command you to do evil, he will command you to do vice. This is the promise that he made with Almighty Allah. لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. Oh Allah, I am going to mislead your entire, all your servants. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. But those chosen servants of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who have sincerity and who have ikhlas, and who Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protects. Allah make us amongst those who are protected by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, by divine protection from the clutches and the evil effects of the devil. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tattabi'u khutwati shaytan. O you who believe, do not follow the footsteps of shaytan. It was shaytan that was coming. For the thought to come in the mind, an evil thought that is human. In fact, in one hadith, it comes of Mishkan Sharif, first volume, where a sahabi comes to Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulallah, لَأَنْ أَكُونَ حُمَمَةً أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ أَنْ أَتَكَلَّمَ بِهِ. Such evil thoughts are coming in my heart and my mind. It is better for me to be converted into coal than to bring those thoughts on my tongue. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, Alhamdulillahi alladhi radda amrahu ila alwaswasa. And one hadith Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Dhaka sarihul iman. This is the words of Muslim Sharif. That is the clear sign of iman. Because evil thoughts, shaitan is only going to inject in the heart and the minds of the believers. The person who denies the existence of Allah, shaitan is not going to pollute his heart and mind because it is already polluted. And this is what we have been taught to ask protection from this attack of the devil in Mu'awwadatain. In Surah An-Nas, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala teaches us this. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ مَلِكِ النَّاسِ إِلَهِ النَّاسِ مِنْ شَرِّ الْوَسْوَاسِ الْخَنَّاسِ. From the evil attack and the evil effort of the devil. الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ. Who puts that waswasa and that evil thought in the heart and the minds of the people. مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ. So constantly we have to ask Almighty Allah protection from the attack and from the effort of the devil. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, لَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. As I was mentioning, for the thought to come in the mind, that is human and that will happen. But to bring that thought on the tongue, that is totally unlawful and that is totally forbidden. And likewise, خِيَال كَ دِلْ مِ عَانَا يَ مَعْفُ عَنْهُ هَ. It is pardon and it is forgiven if the thought comes. لَكِنْ خِيَال كَ دِلْ مِ لَانَا يَ سَحِي نَهِي هَ. To bring the thought into the mind, it is totally unlawful. If the thought comes naturally, then immediately to avert and divert the mind by reading istighfar or a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim or those ad'iyah, those du'as that are mentioned and narrated by the sahaba ikram from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to immediately read those du'as and to divert the mind from those thoughts that shaitan is putting into the mind. But to bring the thought in the mind and then to entertain the thought, that is totally unlawful. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentioned, وَمَنْ يَتَّبِعُ خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Verily, that person who will follow the footsteps of shaitan, then shaitan commands indecency and evil. فَإِنَّهُ يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Every person has these two enemies, that is shaitan and nafs. And the Quran says, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّءِ. أَمَّارَةٌ means that it is اسم مبالغة of أمر, that is كثير الأمر. In other words, the nafs by its nature will command evil in abundance. Kathirul amr, bahut zyada hukam karne wala burai ka. It will command and promote and encourage and invite and tempt one towards evil repeatedly, continuously, unending, perpetually. This is the job of nafs and shaitan. And this battle commences from the time we come in this dunya and it will be right till we take our last breath. In the words of Mishkan Sharif, Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the child comes in this dunya, يَسْتَهِلُّ صَارِخًا مِّن مَسِّ الشَّيْطَانِ. The child cries because he's not feeling cold or he's not feeling hungry. The child is crying because the devil has spoke that child and the devil has announced his enmity that, oh Bani Adam, I am your enemy from today. That is why we are taught by Almighty Allah, before we attend to the physical needs of the child, we have to speak to his spiritual needs and we have to mention and announce in his ears, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And we know Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the adhan is called out, then shaitan runs walahu zuratun. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions that do not follow the footsteps of the devil. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, those sahaba ikram who were protected and whom Almighty Allah guarded, that they did not speak anything ill against Hazrat Aisha, or in their hearts they did not harbor evil thoughts against Hazrat Aisha, then they should not think it that this was out of their own piety. This was the blessings of Allah upon them. Why? Allah mentions, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allahu Akbar. Let us listen to this attentively. Respected listeners, immaterial what ibadat we are doing. We can be performing 5-time namaz, we can be making hajj, roza, zakat, every good action. Listen to what Allah mentions. We are discussing Surah Nur in the 18th juz of the Quran. Allah says, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ Had it not been for the grace and the mercy and the kindness of Almighty Allah, not one of you would have ever been pure from sins. مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا I repeat the ayat. Not one of you would have ever been pure from sins. But, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ But it is only Allah and only Allah who purifies and guides to Islam whomever he wills. So those that have been guided and protected, it is the guidance of Almighty Allah. It is the kindness of Almighty Allah. It is the protection of Almighty Allah. Respected listeners, when Allah is addressing the Sahaba Ikram and mentioning this, then how can we boast and brag on any ibadat of ours? Really, it is only from Allah. وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ Allah says in the 14 juz of the Quran, whatever ni'mat, whether physical or spiritual, ibadat or as far as dunya is concerned, فَمِنَ اللَّهِ it is from Allah. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us every morning to read, اللَّهُمَّ مَا أَصْبَحَ بِي مِن نِعْمَةٍ أَوْ بِأَحَدٍ مِّن خَلْقِكَ فَمِنْكَ وَحْدَكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ Oh my Lord, whatever ni'mat I have got up in this morning, or any ni'mat any of your creation have, any ni'mat that I possess, or any ni'mat that any of your creation possesses, فَمِنْكَ وَحْدَكَ Allah, it is from you alone. لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ There is no partner to you. فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ For you is praise and for you is gratitude. And in the evening to repeat the same dua with the difference of أمسى. اللهم ما أمسى بي من نعمتين أو بأحد من خلقك فَمِنْكَ وَحْدَكَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَكَ فَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ وَلَكَ الشُّكْرُ Oh my Lord, whatever ni'mat I have in this evening or this night, it is from you or any of your creation. All those ni'mat are from you and they belong to you. So those that were protected, they should thank Almighty Allah. And those that fell prey to this accusation should also thank Allah from the believers that Allah gave you tawfiq to repent and Allah accepted your repentance. So Allah says, like He mentions in another place of the Quran, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ Do not regard yourself pious. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ وَإِذْ أَنتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ Allah knows you from the time He created you. Allah knows you when you were in the state, when you were the fetus in the womb of your mother. Allahu ya'lamu ma tahmilu kullu untha, wa ma taghidhu al-arhamu wa ma tazdad. When the fetus is in the womb of the mother, how long the child will live, shaqiyun am sa'idun, whether he will be pious or he will be a kafir, how much ibadat he will make, how much will be rejected, when he will love, how many children he will have, everything is in the knowledge of Almighty Allah. Wasi'a ilmuhu, His knowledge is kamil. Almighty Allah mentions, yamhu Allahu ma yasha'u wa وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ He has أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ and He has the knowledge of everything. So it is through the mercy of Almighty Allah that you have been protected. وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ And Allah is all hearing and is all knowing. You don't have to speak for Allah to know. You don't have to announce it for Allah to know. His knowledge is complete. His sama' is complete. His basar is complete. Every knowledge of every faculty of Almighty Allah is complete. Of course, Allah sees but He is free from eyes. Allah hears but He is free from ears. Almighty Allah knows but He is free from a brain. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ There is nothing like Almighty Allah. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا There is no one equal to Allah. لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ There is no partner to Allah. لَا نِدَّ لَهُ لَا مِثْلَ لَهُ There is no one but like Almighty Allah. And His knowledge is complete and kamil in every aspect. And our every faculty and our every organ is weak and there is a deficiency in every organ in every faculty of ours, and Almighty Allah is complete and kamil bi haddu hisab. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala now mentions, relevant to this topic in this discussion, among the Sahaba Ikram who fell prey to this accusation was Hazrat Mistah radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Mistah radiallahu anhu was a muflis, he was a poor and a pauper person. He was very poor, and he was the cousin of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's mother and the mother of Mistah radiallahu anhu were sisters, so they were khala that by. It was the cousin of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was financially supporting this sahabi. After this episode transpired, and this great test came on Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, in this incident in which Hazrat Mistah radiallahu anhu also played a certain role in the promotion of this accusation, after which naturally it is just but human out of the Bashar Taqaza, just but human that Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu decided that he will discontinue his financial support to Hazrat Mistah radiallahu anhu. Let us see what does the Quran teach us and what is the approach of the Quran to this decision of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The Quran has already reprimanded Mistah radiallahu anhu, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ And likewise earlier on also, لَوْلَا إِذَا سَمِعْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا Likewise Almighty Allah mentions, لَمَسَّكُمْ فِي مَا أَفَضْتُمْ فِيهِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ That it is the kindness of Allah that azab is not coming. So Almighty Allah reprimanded Miftah radiallahu anhu. But was it correct now for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to discontinue his financial support? Was his excuse not valid in our times that a person accuses your daughter with zina? Can you imagine how difficult he has made it for you to love, and now you decide to discontinue your financial support, which is just but human. I mean, you have a heart, you don't have a stone, you don't have a rock, you have this feelings, this human feelings, and naturally a person who has brought so much grief to you, how can you take the courage of assisting such a person, and he does not appreciate and express his gratitude to the support that you have been giving him over the period of time. The Quran now comes. Allahu Akbar.
وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ.
And let not the wealthy amongst you swear and take an oath, those who Allah has blessed and endowed with health and wealth, what they should not take an oath to do what?
أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ.
To discontinue and to give up their practices of assisting their family, qurba, the relatives, wal masakeen, and the poor, wal muhajireen fi sabilillah, and those that thrive in the path of Allah. Now Hazrat Miftah radiallahu anhu was his relative also, he was poor also, and he was from among the muhajireen also. They should not do so. Why shouldn't they do so, O Allah? Allah mentions now, wal ya'fu wal yasfahu. Tell them quickly to forgive and to forget and to overlook. Why?
Ala tuhibbuna an yaghfir Allahu lakum.
Don't you want Allah to forgive you? When this ayat was revealed, don't you want that Allah must forgive you? Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Bala ya Rabbana nuhibbu. Oh, our Lord, we love it. Tell us, what do you want we must do so you can forgive? We will do it. Allahu Akbar. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inni la'arifu rajulan bismihi wa bismi abihi wa bismi ummihi la ya'ti baban min abwabil jannati illa qala marhaban bik. I know one person, I know his father's name, I know his mother's name. Every door of Jannat will be anticipating his arrival. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu said, Man huwa ya Rasulallah? O Nabi of Allah, who is this Mubarak person? Tell us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Huwa Abu Bakr ibn Abi Quhafa. That is Abu Bakr, the son of Abu Quhafa. That person whose Jannat was confirmed on the tongue of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not once or twice, but wallah, the books of ahadith are filled with the virtue and the manaqib and the maqam of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But he says, Oh my Lord, what is it that you want from me so I can assure, so it can confirm your forgiveness? Tell me, oh Allah. Allah says, forgive and forget. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, with reference to Tafsir Uthmani, Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahmatullah alayhi writes, after this ayat al-kareema was revealed, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allah, give us a fraction of this iman. Say ameen, respected listeners, whoever is listening to me, wherever in the car or in the house, say ameen. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Oh my Lord, from this month onwards, after this ayat al-kareema has been revealed, I promise to double the financial support of Miftah. Who is Miftah? Miftah is that very same sahabi radiallahu anhum who played a part to a certain extent in the promotion of the accusation of the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. It is only and only the strength of iman that can make a person overlook and forgive and forget. This is what the Quran teaches us. Fasfah is-safha al-jameel. Forgive and forget. Almighty Allah mentions, Allahu Akbar. فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. This is the formula and this is the nuskha of converting enmity into friendship. Allah says, your worst and your arch enemy will become your best friend. تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. Bring and inculcate the akhlaq of Almighty Allah into you. Can we ponder and can we fathom? Let us pause and think. Today, can we regard our excuses as valid that we are not speaking to our relatives because they did not attend our function or because of petty and minute things? Can we understand what harm was caused to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu by Miftah radiallahu anhu? Yet Sayyidina Abu Bakr, وَكَانَ وَقَّافًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَكَانَ وَقَّافًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. وَاللَّهُ Quran meant Lord to Sahaba, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. This is the shan of the believers. When Quran comes down, they don't review the matter, they don't discuss the matter. Immediate, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. Whereas the Mufassirin unanimously agree, it was not compulsory for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to financially support Miftah prior to this incident also. So how could it be compulsory after this incident? That is why the Quran used such a way, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ. They should not. Quran did not say, don't do it, Abu Bakr, but the Quran say they should not. Unko aisa nahi karna chahiye. Why? Hasanatul Abrar Sayyiatul Muqarrabin. They were the chosen servants of Almighty Allah. And it was this submission of this, it was this ita'at of this. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ.
مطيعه. Verily the lover submits to his beloved. Abu Bakr submitted to Almighty Allah. So his maqam and his status was confirmed. His entrance into Jannah by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِ وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلُ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. When someone is being good to us, for us to be good to him, that is no beauty. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you have not fulfilled the rights of being good to your relatives. وَلَكِنَّ الْوَاصِلُ, who is joining ties? الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ, when his relatives are breaking ties. اُعْفُ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكْ, the one that oppresses you, you forgive. أَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْهِ, the one that swears you, you be good to him. Of course it is correct for you. وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ, but if you will exercise sabr, it is the best thing. We make dua to the Almighty Allah, he give us the tawfiq to inculcate these beautiful akhlaq of the Quran into our lives. وآخر دعوانا عن الحمد لله رب العالمين.